Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Good to have you guys with us, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. Don, good to see you here.
Yeah, good to be here.
And it is chock full of all sorts of seasonal things going on. You name it, it's going to be talked about, from a crazy tournament down in on the Illinois River that you'll be interested to hear.
Oh, really?
You like those quirky kind of things.
I do.
And we're going to actually get to a story I've been trying to get to. It's about the Yelp reviews of the national parks that are absolutely off the charts funny. You will not believe it.
All right.
Yeah, so that and more when we come back. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation, with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Good to see you, Don.
Yes.
Good to have everybody listening on the other end as well.
Yes.
Of course, we can't see
Thanks
them.
Thanks for joining us.
Can't hear them. Can we?
Oh, sometimes we can.
Oh, that's true. that we can do. That we can do. You got a fishing trip coming up.
Yeah, I do have one coming up here not too far into the future.
Where are you
We're going to be heading up
gallivanting
to,
now?
Well, we're going to be heading up to Lake of the Woods with a nice crew. Spend another week up there, hopefully. And
up to the north, north.
Yeah, well, it's just not too far north of the border, about an hour. So we get to the edge of the water, and then we have a nice ride about 15 miles out to an island.
That's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
We'll be going up Lake of the Woods. We're going to stay up at Flag this year.
Oh.
And
how are you getting there?
By boat.
Are you?
Yeah, we're driving the Vexus from right at Sportsman's. Or that launch ramp right there, public launch.
Yep.
And we're heading, as we do every year.
I would get there real early in the morning.
Why is that? Up
because it's much calmer.
Oh, that won't happen. It's the same thing. We get there in the afternoon every year, same thing. We've done this the last 3-4 years, and it's the same deal. No joke. I get it. We had... Down
you
last?
Know, it's just, you know, you could go the night before and get a nice room, get a good rest, and show up at the ramp at 5 a.m. And
well, you could do that, but some of those guys that I'm going with, they have other commitments, so.
What, jobs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I used to have that, too.
Well, my new gig is, yeah. I'm extremely happy.
You could make it work.
I can make that work.
Sure.
It's just extremely exciting. But
yep.
So I did take that trip, and it was rough a couple days. Now, we're loaded for 5 days, so the boat is packed. We've got coolers. We've got clothing. We've got more coolers. We've got more clothes. We've got fishing tackle. We've got everything, right? Everything is loaded in this thing. It's as full as you can get it.
Right.
And of course, then it's never calm.
No, that's why I say if you take off in the afternoon, you're waiting for the wind to come up.
But Don, I will counter that, because last year we came back, we left at 5:30 a.m. thinking it's going to be just fine.
Oh yeah,
the wind was blowing, and I mean, blowing out of the southeast. No, so yeah, southeast, right up the chute, just south southeast.
Right.
And it was blowing probably 25. So we were about 15 miles an hour the whole way, all the way from up top down to the other end of the lake.
Well, I can tell you, I've been caught on that lake in winds out of the west at 40.
I know.
And I will never do that again. I mean, it's just about as scary as you can.
Well, and it comes up quick, too. You can be out there and it'd be just fine.
Yeah, this has been blowing all day, and we had this brilliant idea that we needed to get back.
Had to.
Yeah.
We don't have that need. If it's that bad, it's not a big deal.
No.
And we're dealing with, you know, I'm dealing with a 20-foot Vexus. One of the other guys has my old boat. I used to run a Ranger, and he's got that. So we actually had three. So there's a Vexus DVX-22 that I Talked to a guy buying it, loves it. DVX-20, my boat, just got it. And then a Ranger. We've got the boats that can handle it.
Not 40 mile an hour,
but
you don't.
Hang on. But there's a point where you still, even with those quality of boats, you have to recognize and understand when to say when. That's the reason I say that. I've been on the lake when it's been nasty. I've been on that lake where you just say, not happening. We did a filming with Winkleman.
Yep.
And Nate Berg was camera guy. We were out, Ty Chardin, we filmed it. Great bite. It proceeded to get worse and worse and worse. And one of the guests we had on was one of the sponsors of the Winkleman show. And he was out there, and he actually got sick. And they had to pull him back. It was horrible. Fish were biting. But, I mean, it was swells probably six footers, which means it's level 6 feet up from flat water and then 6 feet down.
You
so they were
your buddy 200 feet over. You can't find him anymore.
Oh, yeah. You can watch him when he comes up, right up to the top of the wave.
No, I was in a 32-foot Sea Ray.
Oh, I know.
Because we were using the boats at the
launch. The launch isn't?
Well, no, at the resort that we were staying at. So in a 32-foot boat in 40, we could only go 3 miles an hour coming back.
Yeah.
That takes a long time.
Oh, it's not good. Plus, you have to worry about if you get enough fuel. And
Well, that was the scary part. Because if we'd have gotten sideways, we'd have been in big trouble.
Oh yeah, that's the issue with a lot of those big lakes that you just have to be careful.
We cleared the gap in the dark.
That's not a good thing to do.
No, and we didn't even know we did it. We did not even realize we'd gone through the gap. We ran aground on the Canadian side. We literally put it right into the sand. Stuck it in the sand.
But there, that would have been if the wind was bad. Then you would have been okay there. I mean, it would have been calmer.
That's where it got calmer when we got through the gap, and then
because it's tight, it's a snug fit.
It's about maybe 100 yards wide.
Not even. Oh no. 50 probably. 50 yards wide.
So anyway,
that's going to be fun though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So
I love fall fishing. Crappies are usually pretty nice up there. You know, we're hoping to see the 14 inchers again.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping to see some. Good stuff going on up at Ashkenham. That's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, the lucky folks, I got the...
Got the win.
Got the win on the Fish With Us. And we'll be doing that here later in a few weeks. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be good. And I've got a vet trip. I'm trying to get that organized, same at CAB. Yep. So a lot of fun stuff coming up. And one of the things that I wanted to just briefly, since we got off track, but that's okay. Getting off track is part of it, right, Don?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Just real briefly, a lot of guys and my buddies are like, boy, I was out in the woods and it was just miserable. I was sweating, trying to get everything ready to go. You know what? You don't have to hate deer hunting or hate the deer or hate whatever to get your stuff ready for either it's turkey or whatever. Hate them bad enough to go out there and work up a sweat and make it miserable because it's supposed to be fun. Prepping is fun, right? But one of those things when you end up having a time of year when it can be hot, it's miserable. Take a little time, but make sure you got leaves in the trees. Make sure you have all of the preps work ready. So when the leaves fall off, you're in your stand or you're walking in the woods, you're ready to go. But just make sure it's fun for you and if any bring anybody else with you. So make sure you do that. Well, tell you what, we're going to be right back. More Valley Outdoors right after this. Hey, Don, as always, like to have everybody check us out, Facebook and
the valleyoutdoors.com.
Yep, exactly. That was good, stereo.
Yeah.
We got it down. We've been doing it long enough, maybe, to figure that out.
Yes.
So, Don, I know you are a big fan of catfish. You love catfishing more than anything in the world. You light up whenever I talk about catfishing. It is
your reason why I light up.
Epitome of fishing. You see catfish as the top of the fish chain. You see it as the gold standard in the
typical, the fish you want to go for,
man,
a
is
bucket
it getting
list.
Deep in here.
You really, that, so
you know
I
why.
Thought I would bring, I don't care why, it doesn't matter. I know you do. So really, the reason that I'm saying this is second on your list.
All right.
Invasive carp. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Carp.
Yep. Invasive carp. Silver carp.
Yep. Yep.
Did you know that silver and Asian carp represent 70% of the fish in some parts of the Mississippi River system?
No, I did not know that.
You learned something today.
Yeah, I learn something all the time.
Isn't there? You hope you do, and yes. I brought you something on a golden silver platter, served it. Well done.
Thank you.
Yep, there you go. The fun part about this is there's an annual fishing tournament that removes thousands of these from the Illinois River.
Are these the invasive?
Yeah.
And how are they doing that? How are they catching them?
Stay tuned.
All right.
They're bringing fish by netting them as they fly through the air.
Are they using fish nets to?
They're driving along, scaring the fish. They jump up and they net them. The
sounds
boats.
Like fun.
Oh, they've got everybody is wearing a helmet with face gear, like
right.
a hockey helmet.
Yeah, so
because they jump up. Exactly.
Mug.
Yep, exactly. The story goes, grab your net, fuel up your boat, and leave your rod and reel at home. It's the annual Redneck Fishing Tournament on the banks of the Illinois River. Helmets recommended. This year's tournament was held the 4th of August through the 6th. It attracted hundreds of spectators. It rid the Illinois River of 3,300 invasive carp and raised nearly $7,000 for homeless veterans and breast cancer victims.
Wow. How many participants?
There's hundreds of them, is what they said.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
And it's got to look like a rodeo.
I know. It does look like a rodeo. You should see the pictures.
But, I mean, it's just the safety of boats because you need to have a wake going, don't you, to get them to jump?
No, you just have to have the motor going. You don't have to have a wake necessarily, but they to go through them to scare them. So some of them do.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be in the same area. It's
so
not like.
Do they have the winning
like
weight?
It's not like a demolition derby.
Well, that's what I was picturing.
No, it's not quite. Tournament founder Betty DeFord conceded the event about 17 years ago. She launched the tournament in 2005, combining an unusual fishing technique and a local desire to protect the native fish from the invasive species. And they call it Kopi, a fish recently renamed by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, otherwise known as Silver Asian Carp, that had taken over the river. They are just a major nuisance, and they're driving out all the other fish. They are bottom feeders, and they eat everything there is, and they spawn 4 times a year. So it's kind of like...
They need to have the tournament about weekly.
It's kind of like the hog situation.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Good thing to have going on. But anyway, the Illinois DNR, they're encouraging people to eat the fish. They derive the word kopi from copious. And when you're down on the banks of the Illinois River, it's easy to see why. When motorized boats come by, carp jump into the air by the hundreds. And instead of catching the fish with rods and reels, and the reason you don't is they do not hit on they do not bite your line. You may snag them occasionally. It's kind of like paddlefish. They do not eat a bait, or they won't eat.
They don't eat what you're serving?
No, they're not going to do that. So one of the former tournament winners, Willie Schrader, says that the fall out of the boat and you'll be just fine.
What happens if you fall out of the boat?
You can get hit.
By?
A fish.
A fish or another boat?
Yes, it's possible.
I'm still picturing the demolition derby.
Now, the sage advice from participants has been, as so many of them have been known to break noses, and you just have to have somebody that can really be a good net man, and that's really what it comes down to.
Is this a team event?
Yes, it would be a team event, and this year's event removed over 20,000 pounds of kopi from the river, just a drop in the bucket in some parts of the river. As I said, that Asian carp represent about 70% of all fish in the water, and they estimate 20 to 50 million kopi could be harvested annually if a market demand was established.
Okay, my next question was, having run a sheephead tournament in my past for a few years, what do they do with 20,000 pounds of kopi?
That's one of the things it did not say, but I do know that they have brought them to fish and hog farms, mm-hmm. and they do eat those. They grind them up, and who knows, maybe it will be in some future Mrs. Paul's fish sticks.
Or it could be in your hot dog.
Well, for that wouldn't work as a vegetarian. That wouldn't. No, that's no. not. That would be. That would not be considered vegetarian material. Sorry to say, Don. As much as we'd like to try, right?
Well, it's not.
No. Why? Of course not.
Great story. That's.
Don't you love that?
Yeah. Back to the catfish.
I
have to give him credit because he's the guy that taught me everything I know about Mr. Whiskers.
Well,
because that's all I could catch in his boat.
That's not my fault. That's not my fault. I'll just make sure I give you a couple more harnesses this year for Ashkenham to take care of you.
I'm not asking for anything.
Yep, I bet.
Don't worry about that.
Oh, you know, if you're fishing with friends, it's fun to do that. It just is. I didn't know there was such a thing as a slip harness until I decided to tie one up.
Until you accidentally tied
it. I didn't accidentally do it.
Yes,
crowing about roosters, moving right along. Another banner. Iowa pheasant hunting season is expected, Don.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because we've been hearing up, down, waterfall, and you know, South Dakota's been tough. I haven't heard actual
Creole,
conversation with the male runners that make the counts.
Right,
which is the craziest thing I've ever seen. But
yep.
Results of the Iowa's 2022 pheasant population survey are in, and the results were nearly identical to that of 2021. Hunters harvested the highest number of roosters in more than a decade. The annual August roadside survey found Iowa's statewide pheasant population to be slightly under 20 birds per 30-mile route. Within the survey, the Northwest, West Central, and North Central regions again had the highest counts within the state, followed by the Northeast and Central regions. The full report will be available. You can log on to The Valley Outdoors, pull up the Iowa DNR, and it'll be right there.
Sure.
So if they enjoyed last year, this year should be absolutely fantastic, and most of the state will be excellent. Best hunting will be north of Highway 30, based on the results. August roadside survey. They can expect to harvest between 300 and 400,000 birds this year, which is similar to last year when the harvest was the highest. Birds relying heavily on the number of hunters in the field, obviously, and the harvest will be. In the past 2 years, they saw the highest number of pheasant hunters since 2009, and that increased showed up as an increase in harvest. So what do you think about them apples?
No, it's great news when you hear that they're either stable or very similar to, previous years. I'm not sure. I'm curious. Next, we should hear in the next show or two get a review of what's going on in South Dakota.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
63,000 hunters participated in 2021, which is a slight increase over 2020 in Iowa. They've had anecdotal reports of quail whistling this summer. An increase was reflected in the survey. You know, Don, I was going to pull a story today about Wisconsin. They have stopped their grouse. They're not going to have a grouse hunt this year
because
they're
down.
They're
cyclic.
Every
5 years or something.
And last year I think it was off, and this year again they're not going to have a grouse hunt. So it was kind of sad.
We had a grouse, and we were just up in Canada here a few weeks back. That would just stayed right around the cabin the whole time.
Pet?
Well, I can tell you, hunting it wouldn't be very hard.
Then you kind of feel sorry for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, nah, better not do that. What's kind of fun, too, Don, is that this is a really kind of a good story to wrap this story up. Hunters have the opportunity to hunt species in some additional acres of private land that were enrolled into the popular Iowa Habitat and Access Program. They call it IHAP. Enrollment in the program is at an all-time high of nearly 32,000 acres. The IHAP allows hunters access portions of property covered in the agreement from September 1st through May 31st. Conservation officers will provide assistance and enforcement if needed. And so that's kind of a neat deal. That's mm-hmm. also added in. The youth pheasant hunt will be coming up in October 22nd, 23rd. Pheasant season is 29th through January 10th. quail 29th through 31st, rabbit 3rd of September through February 28th, and partridge October 8th, January 31st. So what do you think about them? Applees.
Well, it's fun that we're talking about upland game and hunting in the woods. The fall season's sneaking up on us here very quickly.
You can say that again.
Yes.
And the part that I find funny about the fall season sneaking up on it, you look at past temperatures, we didn't really have a hot summer to speak of. We had days that were, but nothing that we had the long stretches, which I'm kind of happy about. I'm kind of enjoying the comfort.
I don't mind not the the blistering heat. Now, that's not true all over the country, so.
Yeah. But, we get to wrap up. Go to the next segment.
Yep.
And we are going to be right back. More Valley Outdoors. And we are going to touch on a couple things, including Yelp reviews of national parks, which you don't want to miss. Stay tuned.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Don, I've been trying to get to this story for the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's when I read it, I absolutely laughed out loud. Involuntarily just started laughing.
I've been waiting to hear it because
the best Yelp reviews of national parks.
Okay.
The first one, Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I know that hiking at night is not preferable. Okay.
Duh.
But could they paint the signs with white instead of having names of the trails and whatnot carved into the signs? It would be so much easier to read. You can never really over-label when it comes to gigantic parks and the great outdoors.
Over-label. Is that what you just said?
Over-label.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this is, again, these are from people. These are comments coming from people that have visited the park, Don.
All right.
Comments coming. Best Yelp reviews. Attention window shoppers is the title of this next one. A backpacker or trailblazer's paradise, I prefer to drive through. Another one. We hiked some amazing trails and some beautiful waterfall views and got to see a friendly bear up close and personal. I let him have my sandwich because I wasn't sure how friendly he was.
You know.
You can't fix stupid.
Oh, but you can make it silent with duct tape.
Yes, you. Oh, Don, I got a hand. That's good. Okay, Grand Canyon National Park. This ought to be good. Whoop-de-doo, Grand Canyon. You're a giant hole in the ground. You were caused by erosion. You don't have roller coasters or dipping dots. Jeez, can you say overrated?
Oh, my goodness.
These are true. These are not made up. Another one from Grand Canyon. I just don't understand why they don't build a road, aerial tramway, elevator, or something that gives easier access to the canyon depths. To people who say that building anything would ruin the Grand Canyon, I would say this. Did building a road into the Yosemite Valley ruin Yosemite?
Oh, my.
It
would be an engineering
another
feat.
One at Grand Canyon. Whatever you do, be warned that there are no barriers around the edges which to fall about 300 to 900 feet to the depths of the canyon. Do not take pictures or have pictures taken of yourself without being serious. Do not hover about the canyon whilst drunk. You will fall over the edge and you will die.
Brilliant.
Yosemite National Park. Okay, people, it is great, but not as good as Yellowstone. As an example, we went for a moonlit hike sponsored by the park, and they asked us, those who raised their hands, if there was ever, it was their favorite park. Only 20% raised their hands. Oh, boy. Another one for Yosemite. By the way, the park shuts off some of the waterfalls after midsummer. This is probably due to the dwindling Park Service budgets and they're spent on toilet paper. Please protest this fiscal mismanagement by staying away from Yosemite.
Shut the pumps off, do they?
Apparently so. Again, Yosemite, utterly horrible place. It's horrible place. No McDonald's on every corner, no casinos or pawn shops anywhere in sight. Trees block the views and too many gray rocks. No concierge or valet parking. Just forget about this place.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yellowstone. We're going to hit Yellowstone because you've been there. I've been there. Amazing, unique, but shall I ever return? I truly doubt it.
Not if you're going to go pet the buffalo.
Death around every corner, Yellowstone. Holy crap, if you're stuck, like getting stuck in a car for miles and miles on the side of a 493,000 billion feet tall mountain where any moment you could sneeze and fall to your death and no one will find you for a month, this is a place for you. Jeez. And last one, I couldn't wait to get back to New York from this uncivilized wilderness. It's like a bigger version of Central Park, only with bears.
Yeah. That's good, you know, stuff.
I hope those people don't come back because those are the ones that make it miserable for the rest of us that do enjoy it.
Yeah.
Those maybe are the ones
they
find.
They need a little duct tape on their fingers.
Those are the ones that go over the fence and wander over the geysers. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. Which is one of those things. Yeah. So, hey, this is one of those things. We are at the end of the show, and I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We are out of here for Don, myself, Eric, and we are gone.